We continue our learning. Lelinishmas Helen Basleya Susan Basleya David Ben Menachemusha Mecham Yaakov Ben Pinchas Eliyahu. We're in Bava Mesiyah Perek Vav Mishnah Ches. Hamavir Chavis Mi Makom LeMakom Ushvara. He have a case where a person is bringing a barrel from one place to another and he breaks it. Reuven has a barrel and asks Shimon to move the barrel from one place to another and Shimon breaks it. Bein Shomer Chinam Bein Shomer Sachar Yishava. Says the Tanakhama, whether Shimon is a Shomer Chinam, he's an unpaid shomer, or is it shomer sachar is being paid to bring the chavis, the barrel of Reuven, from one place to another? Either way, Yishavahi should swear that he was not negligent, and he will be exempt from paying. So that seems to be a very simple halacha. This is the shvuas hashomrim, and the shomer is taking a shvua that he was not negligent, therefore he should be exempt. But if you think about it, it's not so simple, because we understand that with respect to a shomer chinam, but a shomer sachar is chayav, even though he swears he wasn't negligent, when it comes to geneva va'aveda, something stolen or lost, he would be chayav, he's only exempted ones. Would we say that moving a barrel from one place to another, he's being paid to do so, and he breaks it, would we say that that has the status of something being stolen or lost? Are we going to say that once he wasn't negligent, so therefore he's going to be exempt? Would we really call that an ones? So that's the issue in this Mishnah. So Rabbi Eliezer comes to argue with the Tanakam and says the following. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Zeva Zeyushava, I also have a tradition from my Rebbeim that whether it's a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sacha, he should take an oath, take a Shvua, and will exempt himself. But V'tama Ani, but I find it astonishing, Im Yecholin Zeva Zeli Shava, that in fact that both of them should be able to take a Shvua and exempt themselves. Because a Shomer Sacha is only Pater and Ones. Geneva Vaveda Hid Bichayef. Even though it's not negligence. For him to swear, well, when I brought the barrel from one place to the other, I know I'm being paid for that. Well, I wasn't negligent in doing so. That shouldn't necessarily be an exemption for the Shomer Sachar. So even the Shomer Chinam, it's not so simple. You're going to say that he swears that, I wasn't negligent. There could be negligence there too. Let's say, if it's one thing, if he was asked to schlep the barrel on an area that was a slope. Okay, so there's a greater likelihood that it may break. So maybe he could say, listen, I wasn't negligent, but at the end it broke. But if he's asked, there's a very flat area, very smooth, whatever it may be, and it broke anyway, so maybe that would be negligence. Why do we assume that all he has to do is swear and he's going to be exempt? So there are different ways to understand this Mishnah and the basis of the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Eliezer in the Gemara. One explanation is that the Tanakam holds Niskal Lav Posher, who this brings us a throwback to the third parak in Bava Kamma. We spoke at someone who strips. If you trip, and then because you trip, you broke something that you were carrying, or you trip, and now someone fell over you. Do we consider someone who trips a Posher, negligent? Because, you should have been careful where you were walking, or maybe you should have gotten up in time. So we could argue like this. The Tanakama holds Niskal Lav Posher, who a person who trips is not considered negligent. In fact, what is he considered? He's considered an ones. Well, if that's true, that's what happened here. This person is moving the chavis one place to the other. What happened? He tripped, and therefore the barrel broke. One who trips is considered an ones, is not considered negligent. Not only not negligent, it skips all the way to ones. So if that's true, then we understand very well why even the Shomer Sachar is able to swear, listen, I tripped, it was an ones, and therefore I should be exempt. That's one explanation. And some say that even according to the Tanakama, it's true that they cannot necessarily take a Shavua. Why? Because the Tanakama holds Niskal Posheo. In fact, the worst person who trips is considered negligent. Well, if he's considered negligent, so why are they taking a shvua at all? Then everyone should be chayv to pay. Bein the shomech sachar, bein the shomech chinam, for breaking the barrel, because if it broke because he tripped, and that's considered negligence, then everyone's chayv in negligence, even a shomech chinam. And the answer is that you're right. This is not the classic shvua sashomrim, where a shomer takes a shvua and he's exempt. Rather, this is a shvua takanas chacham. Midoraisa, there is no oath you can take to exempt yourself. But the Chachamim instituted an oath for exemption purposes. Why? Because if we're not going to allow a person to swear that I was not negligent, maybe I didn't trip, or I tripped, but even though I tripped, I wasn't negligent. attention in such a case, because then no one's going to ever want to do a favor for someone else. In fact, no one's even going to accept, even as a Shomer Sachar, to do any schlepping from one place to another, because that sometimes it happens. Occasionally something breaks. And therefore, although there's no Shvua de Raisa, there is a Shvua de Rabbanan. And what shvua is it? He says, listen, I didn't break this with kavana. I didn't have intent to break this at all. Did the best I could. And that would be enough to exempt you on a doraisa level. You really should be chayv to pay. But nonetheless, the rabbanan said, no, we innovated takana that you can exempt yourself with this type of shvua, because otherwise the people would never accept to do any schlepping for anybody else. And some say, even if the Tanakhama holds, niska lav posheo, let's say the Tanakh holds, someone who trips is not considered negligent. So then we're fine. It's not so simple that we're fine, because just because you hold one who trips is not negligent, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's an onus. So I understand if niska lav posheo, a person who trips and that's why the bowel broke, is not negligent, that may help the shomer chinam, and the shomer chinam can take a shvua d'oraisa to exempt him from paying. But a shomer sachar, just because he's not negligent, doesn't mean he's automatically an onus. In fact, just because you tripped, maybe that has the status of Gneva Vaveda, although you didn't steal, or it's not stolen or lost, but it's not onus, and it's not Pshia because you tripped. So what is it? It's like an Eva Vaveda, and therefore Shomer Sachar should be chayiv to pay in such a case. So it's the Shomer Chinam who takes a Shvua d'Oraisa to exempt himself because he wasn't negligent. But the Shomer Sachar, who cannot exempt himself by saying this is Ones because it wasn't Ones, he takes what we would call the Shvua d'Rabbanan, where we employ the Takanas Chachamim of the Shvua d'Rabbanan for the Shomer Sachar, that people should be able to accept upon themselves these kinds of jobs of schlepping for payment, because otherwise people would not want to do so. We begin the seventh Perek. Perek Zayin Mishnah Aleph. Our Mishnah is going to deal with Schiras Poalim. Hasocher is a Poalim, person who hires a worker. He's paying in by the hour, and we'll see in the Mishnah that there may be certain rules and maybe certain minhagim that we have in particular communities that generally need to be followed. Although when it comes to financial matters, a Poalim can have an employer and employee make some type of arrangement in advance of where the employee is hired. That may be different, and that's when the Mishnah is coming to tell us. Hasocher es ha-poalim va'omar lohem lahashkimu laha'ariv. Person who hires a schirion, person who's being paid for the day. And he tells them like this, I'm hiring you. And he didn't mention anything, no particular arrangement when he hired them. Didn't make any tanai, no particular stipulation. Hires them, and therefore the assumption is you're going to follow the minhag medina, whatever people normally do in this town, in this city, in this community. And then he tells them, by the way, I want you to be mashkim or mariv, meaning I want you to get up early. Normally people start working here at 7. I want you to get to work at 6. I want you to get there before sunrise, let's say. And not only that, laharif, let's say I want you to stay late after it's already, after shkia, after it's late, after it's dark. I want you to work later than typical. Says the Mishnah, makom shenagul shalo lahashkim, shalo laharif, enor shai lakofan. If the community where it is, the minig is that the workers work from sunrise to sunset, and they didn't make any particular arrangement stipulation in advance, so the halacha is he has no right to force them to do so. The Gemara says, Mishnah is coming to teach us the following. Let's say that should be obvious to us, this halacha. But the chiddush is, let's say he promised them more money, meaning normally they get paid, they normally get paid $20 an hour. And in advance, I'm hiring you, and I'm hiring you for $30 an hour. So he says, and then after they start work, he says, by the way, you know, work starts at 6 and ends at at 8 or ends at 7 instead of starts earlier, ends later. So they say, listen, that's not the minhag hamedina. So he says to them, he says, well, why do you think I'm paying you $30 an hour? Most people get paid for this job $20 an hour. He has no right to do that. Since he didn't make the tanai in advance, the workers can say, listen, you know why you paid us more? Because you figured that we will work harder, or you figured that we're more qualified. Then the Mishnah says, Makom shenagu lazun yazun lesapek v'misika yisapek hakol k'minag hamedina. If the minag is in that city where when you hire workers, you feed them, you feed the breakfast, feed the lunch, whatever it is, you have to give them mizonos. You can't say, well, this is without lunch. No, you can make that tonight in advance, but once they start working, so the assumption is if you hire them in this particular city, this particular town, that you give them lunch. And if it's lesapek b'misika, some explain it means to give them not only bread but literally sweets. It means, let's say, you give spreads on the bread as well. Sapek b'misika making it means you give them different types of foods or snacks as they're working. They're able to eat snacks, and that's what people normally do. Yisapek, that is your obligation as the employer. Hakol k'minag hamedina. And that seems to be redundant. Obviously, we're following the Gamedina. The Gemara says this phrase, Hakol Minag Hamedina, comes to include that if you're in a place where the minag is to give the workers breakfast, where in the house of the balabais of the employer before they go out to do malacha, the balabais does not have the right to tell them, listen, you start working and I'll bring your breakfast, as you're working. No, if that's not in the Minag Hamedina, Hakol Minag Hamedina, which means that giving them breakfast as they work does not count as breakfast. Breakfast means we get to sit down like a mensch in your house, and I'm going to eat breakfast and then I'll go out to work. Then the Mishnah says, "Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya she'amar livno." There was a case where Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya told his son, "Say uschor lanu palim, go out and hire workers for us." And halachu pasak lahem mizonos, and he went and fixed them and said, "Okay, we made a stipulation and made it tanai at the very beginning. I'm going to give you mizonos." Uksheba Eitzel Aviv, when he came to his father, Amar Lo Bini, said to him, you fixed already from the beginning, oh, you're going to give them his onos. Afilu ata osa lahem kisuta shloma b'shato. Even if you're going to feed them now during the malacha, you're going to give them like the suda of Shlomo HaMelech in his heyday. Look in Malachim. Describes the meat, the food that Shlomo would have at a regular meal every day. Even if you give them that amount of food, lo yatzasa yidecho vascha imahen, you wouldn't fulfill your obligation. Shein ben Avim Yisrael Yaakov, because they are the children of Avram Yisrael and Yaakov. And why does that matter? So we'll see in a little bit. We'll explain that. Ella, rather, what did he say to them? Ad shelo yaschilu b'malacha, before they start working, tzevem alehem, go tell them the following. Almanas, and this should be your stipulation before they start working. She almanas, on the condition, I'm hiring you on the condition, all I'm feeding you is bread and beans, that's it. And Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel Omer, lo yatzarach lomar, he didn't need to say to make this tonight with the poalim, which means that even though he made this decision and was fixed that he's going to, and they stipulate he's going to give them his onos, everything follows the Minag Hamedina. Whatever the Minag Hamedina is, that's what he has to pay. So what is this story of Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya half telling his son's hard work, and what's this doing here? So the Gemara says that there's really a chisuri machasra. There's something missing the Mishnah that needs to be filled in, and then we'll understand what this mice is coming to support. What the Mishnah should be saying is the following: the impasak lahem bizonos, in a place where there the minug is to give bizonos for the employee, to give the employee food, even without a tanai. Then riba lahem, once again, it's a place where there's a minute to give him his onos without a tanai. But he, at the very beginning, said, I'm giving you mizonos, but ribalem. He said, I'm going to give you more than a Minag Hamedina. Meaning, he says, I'm giving you mizonos. We assume ribalem. We assume he's accepting upon himself, the employer, to give the employee more than normal, which means the following. What the Mishnah is adding is like this. If your place where the Minag Hamedina is to give mizonos, so that's already built in. That's built into the contracts, built in already to hiring the workers. So for you to now say, by the way, I make a stipulation, I'm hiring you, Almanas, I'm giving you mizonos, that automatically means that I'm giving you more because it's already built in that I'm supposed to give you. So the fact that I said to begin with, by the way, I'm giving you mizonos, means you have to give him more. And then we have this story. Oh, so what did the son of Rav Yochanan ben Masya say? He said, after he was told to go out of Harpal, he said, I told them I'm giving you mizonos. And this was a place where people normally give him mizonos. And now we said, I'm giving you mizonos. That means he has to give more. To fulfill that obligation, well, now you have to give even more than Shlomo HaMelech, because you said you'd give more, and these are, and we assume the Suda of Avram Avinu was greater than Shlomo HaMelech, because when it comes to Shlomo Suda, it says, in Melachim Aleph Perek Dalet Pasuchaf, Yehuda B'Yisrael Rabim Kechol Asher Al Sfas Hayam. And when it came to Avram, he gave, what did he give? Three Purim, three calves for three men. So you have a lot to give. Once you say, I'm adding on mizonos, I'm giving you mizonos, when it's already built in mizonos, you must be giving them a lot. What you need to do, but before they start working, you have to let them know, what I meant was, I'm giving you bread, I'm giving you beans, which is the minug in our place. So that's why Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said he didn't need to say that. You didn't need to deny at all, because if all you're telling me is if you're giving them beans and bread, which is what we normally give here, it was not necessary, because hakol kiminah gamedina.